Stand up. сон, этот крик, этот вопль, этот плач, этот жуткий кошмар, я хочу повторить. И мы проснулись с тобой в этой гадости дня, в кружевах папиросных окурках, в волосатом бреду. Вышли во двор, и три долгих часа протоптались вокруг в ожидании вина. Вспомнил Люся. Взяли вина, и ты сразу легла, и так
U krijgt een vriendelijke ja. Hallo? Ja, ja nou is oké. Okay.
So you asked about Vasily Stus, who was he?
Yeah,
yeah, he was a Ukrainian poet, but he was a real poet in USSR, and it was of course like a criminal. It was a crime. So
He is a Ukrainian person.
He was a Ukrainian poet.
Was?
Yeah,
okay.
He was.
Ah, okay,
he was born in 1938.
38. Okay.
38. He from 1 year old he rose in Donetsk.
Donetsk, yeah.
Yeah. And he was like a Ukrainian teacher. He got an education as a on Ukrainian language. Mm-hmm. He was a journalist. Mm-hmm. He was writing his doctorate. And
okay.
Then since there
smart
was
man.
Yeah, smart man, yeah. But there was a period when repressions started to get back, mm-hmm. and Ukrainian intelligent people got arrested. And on the
because
in Soviet Union you couldn't be a free thinker, mm. and you should be punished because they took everything serious. You write a verse with like
it's
decadent
kind of like
context.
Thought police.
Yeah, thought police, exactly. Mm. Yeah, and he was arrested after, first he was fired from all the jobs, after the case in a presentation of a movie of Shadows of Forgotten Ancestors by Sergei Parajanov, maybe you know it. And one of these future dissidents, they told from the stage that the repressions are started against Ukrainian intelligent people, mm-hmm. and he stand up like as a kind of a protest, and of course KGB agents saw him and start tracking them. In 1 month he get fired from his job, he got fired from institute, from his doctorate, and he got to do a blue collar job like fireman, like something like that. And
proper cancellation.
Yeah, cancellation. Yeah, from government.
It's very advanced.
Yeah,
we found out only recently.
Yeah. And eventually in 1972, he got in prison as a poet, first term, because
of his poetry.
Because his poetry, because they did an inspection in his house, mm-hmm. they found his poetry, and there was, like, in this book, there are, KGB archives that get degriffed, like, they opened, mm-hmm. and there is analysis of his verses, like, it's harmful for regime, for Soviet Union, discredits, a Soviet reality, mm-hmm. it's decadent, mm-hmm. versus even decadent, it was prohibited. So, and he was arrested, and it was 5 years in camp, mm-hmm. in concentration camp, mm-hmm. and 3 years exile. In Siberia. So when he get back, he had only like 9 months. Mm-hmm. His son was 13 when he went to, he got imprisoned. Son mm-hmm. was only two, mm-hmm. so they had like, it was harsh times.
Huh? Did they ever see each other in these 11 years?
No, because most of the times it was prohibited for him to get meetings with his family as a charge for not behaving well. So when he got back, he became a member of Ukrainian Helsinki union. It's mm-hmm. Because at the time Soviet Union also signed the Helsinki commitment mm-hmm. about human rights. Mm-hmm. So the dissidents wanted to legally oppose the powers.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was probably a mistake, I don't know. But anyway, they wanted to behave openly and and legally. But it was hard because the first members, first board was totally arrested. Second board was totally arrested. He became a member. Clearly understanding that he will be arrested as well. Of course, he was arrested, and he got 10 years plus 5 years in exile. Mm. And eventually he got killed or died or whatever, but he was pretty sick, and of course...
While in exile or...?
While in prison. He got in prison 1980 prior to Soviet Olympic Games in Moscow, because they clean up to avoid problems, that it's not the perfect stuff. And he died or got killed in the prison. Anyway, he got killed because he was sick, and it was very very strict regime, and he died.
Does anyone know the real?
Unfortunately,
how he really died?
Unfortunately, no, because Ukrainian KGB archives are opened and Russian no, and it's in Russian Federation archives which are closed still. So we cannot know for sure, but there are different evidence. Someone tells he committed suicide. Okay. Someone told he got like a heart attack. Someone told he was beaten by this bed, you know, in the prisons that. Different things, but the most important things that since he was a poet, he wrote poetry, and it was prohibited for him to write poetry. Yeah. He wrote around like 400 verses there, and only six survived because he managed to somehow transfer them. A lot of people just remember them, and then do
beautiful.
It.
Yeah.
And last thing that he probably like broke him. Because he took all the pressure from this prison administration, but he translated. He told, "Okay, I cannot write my verses. Okay, no problem. I will translate Rilke."
Yeah. Translate what?
Rilke, Heinrich Maria Rilke, Spanish poet.
Okay.
He translated it into Ukrainian because he translated Lorca, he translated Kipling, he translated Rimbaud and like all the European poetry. And they found it. He 1.5 years he translated it. They found it and destroyed it. And he was like, it was And after it, like soon, he like became very sad. Probably it was a depression. I don't know. And then he died. But he overall like he was a. Of course, part of his work, of his activity was dissident movement, human rights movement. Mm-hmm. But first of all, he was poet. And as a poet, he had no chance to be something except dissident because it was impossible to be a poet in Soviet Union and not collaborate with powers. Despite the fact that his verses do not include something like anti-Soviet. It's just, just general thing.
Probably about beauty and freedom.
And he's like really... like he's super strong personality, you know. It's and I will talk this about this in the lecture because he is like I cannot imagine how he passed through it. He knows it's like comparing to Christ. Probably it's not the right thing, but it's something like from these martyrs from Christianity who understood they will die, they will they will suffer. But anyway, they go for because they understand that it's. And as he wrote in as he wrote in one of his verses, we will die, but the movement will stay after us.
And can you shortly say something about the music, the movie?
Today, today we will have the lecture about his life and his heritage, and also we will listen a chamber opera by Ukrainian contemporary art center Dach. Probably most people know Dach Daughters or Dach Abraha. It's like very famous Ukrainian. But you may
know.
It's a center where they born. Developed and where they came from. And it's a new generation, Dach Trio, they created a chamber opera based on his verses. And it's like
beautiful.
It's beautiful and something like that.
Wow. Well, it seems like a great idea to have this on the radio, so
great. Thank
you very much. Anything else you want to share? We're expecting a lot of people.
More than 70. We have 70 plus registrations here. Let's see how many people. What's important?
I had no idea you should have registered.
No.
Found out randomly about this event.
Yeah, sure.
I looked at the Fabulous websites.
Register.
Nothing there. I don't know.
No problem. We just
This is a problem because how should I know?
Sure. They didn't put probably the registration link. But the thing is that we put registration just to understand how many people will come, just to like approximately. So it's a free event. It's like just to commemorate the poet and promote Ukrainian culture because it's very rich, but very 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 few people know about it, especially foreigners. So that's why we do events in English.
Great. So is there a possibility to make donations to some...
Here is QR code. You can donate.
Okay.
It's Ukrainians in the Netherlands Foundation. Here is... it's just a bar. It's for free donation, but for this place.
Okay.
And Yeah,
okay,
that's
well,
it.
Great. And do you organize more this kind
yeah,
of thing?
Yeah, yeah. I have a lecture project which is called Nomadische Buchenplank in Dutch.
Oh,
yeah, nomadic
I saw this on the flyer.
Yeah, yeah. It's a lecture project which hosts Stefan Anthony in Happy Bookieman, and
I do
weekly events
talking
about Ukrainian culture in English, spreading the word of Ukrainian culture.
But it was a very.
Człowieku 20 chce se mu gnusem zwracać, ale těm, co je 40, je toho vyblít ještě více. Jen ten tomu je 60. Může jít se sklerózou klidně spát.
Paniekvoetbal is nooit de beste tactiek, dus laten we allemaal een keer kalm blijven en niet hard in de aanval gaan. Luister in de plaats een uurtje naar Signaal Ruis. We hebben de ideale mix om tot bezinning te komen en zeg ons dan achteraf maar een vriendelijke dankjewel. Goedenavond en welkom. Beginnen doen we met een Canadees-Amerikaanse samenwerking. Gelukkig kan dat nog op muzikaal vlak. Infinite Games, het debuut van Consumables uit Brooklyn in New York, verscheen namelijk vandaag bij het Canadese We Are Time label. En er zit trouwens ook een Australisch kantje aan de samenwerking, want u raadt het nooit, voor de mastering van hun scheve postpunk december-pop Mikey Young. Uit dat debuut is dit het stuiterende Great Design, Consumables.
Vacancy you gotta take up and avoid you gotta het design van consumables. Something Soft zal de nieuwe plaat heten van Mail. Het trio woont verspreid over Ierland en Londen en maakt dat, wat maakt dat de repetities ten volle moeten renderen. En dat lukt hen aardig. Zo ook bijvoorbeeld voor hun eerste nieuwe single van die plaat. De geboorte van DMAM gebeurde in 20 minuten in een schemerige studio in Dublin. Het nummer gaat over mannen die vrouwen online DM'en en vervolgens agressief worden als ze niet de gewenste reactie krijgen. Something Soft heet dus die nieuwe plaat, maar de muziek is dat niet bepaald. Dit is DMAM van Mail.
Thank you.
In Schotland worden ze ook niet bepaald vrolijk van het nieuws, maar kunnen ze toch een dancepunk feestje op poten zetten met de nieuwe single The News van Bikini Body. Het vijftal uit Edinburgh bracht een splitsingle uit met Conscious Pilot om hun tour door de UK te vieren. Het instrumentale trio Those Who Didn't bracht jaren geleden al zijn EP uit met 5 nummers, maar nu nemen ze een nieuwe start met de uitbreiding naar een kwartet en binnenkort een eerste plaat, Maybe Next Year. Hier is alvast een eerste single, Your Defeatism is Sexy, van Those Who Didn't.
Rebellion van Richard Textiles. Het is een van de 5 nummers op hun nieuwe EP die binnen 2 weken verschijnt. Trio uit Winnipeg, ontstaan uit de assen van Art Rockers Blessed, neemt daarbij het heft volledig zelf in handen, van de opnames tot het artwork. In ons hoofd was Miserere May, het debuut van de Zweedse postpunkers Isolated Youth, al even uit, maar dat blijkt dus pas begin volgende maand te zijn. Voor de productie van die plaat deden ze een beroep op Ferris Badwan van The Horrors, en dat kun je ook horen op deze nieuwe single uit die plaat, Psychosoma van Isolated Youth.
Yeah.
Nog een week geduld, dan is er weer een nieuwe plaat van Bambara. Bert Marks heet de nieuwe. Met de vaste ingrediënten, zoals u hoort, inclusief de stereotype stem van zanger Reed Beatty. Begin mei komen ze de plaat live voorstellen in de AB. We draaiden alvast Face of Love. Abyss, de nieuwe plaat van Annika, werd opgenomen in de legendarische Hansa Studio in haar thuisstad Berlijn. De nummers werden live on tape opgenomen. Achteraf werd er zo weinig mogelijk aan geprutst. Dit om de muziek zo zuiver mogelijk te houden, is wat ze ook al op eerdere platen deed. Op de nieuwe single uit dat album probeert ze dingen onder woorden te brengen die de samenleving misschien liever niet hoort. Dit is Walk Away van Annika.